Welcome to the Good Manners Map with me, Monique Chambers, where we take a journey around the world learning about social etiquette and traditions. Welcome to the Good Manners Map with me, Monique Chambers, and my guest this week is Jacqueline Newholm from Auckland in New Zealand. That's an awful long way away.
It is. Kia ora, Monique.
Ah, what's kia ora?
It means hello in the native Maori language.
Okay.
We use various Maori words. Sometimes when we're speaking, it becomes part of the colloquial way that we talk.
Is that to sort of hide from things from tourists or just in general?
Just in general. Okay. It's a general sort of thing.
Is there anything else we need to know?
Sometimes if you are greeting a Maori person, if you're in New Zealand, for example, on holiday or wherever, and you go to visit a traditional Maori place, if you're greeted, they might come and shake your hand, but then they will press noses. It's called a hongi. Yes, so you usually sort of press noses once or twice, and it's the same as cheek kissing over here, I suppose.
I think I like that better. Yeah. Don't get lipstick on your ear.
No, that's true.
Okay, so you were talking about the Maoris there. Are there traditions that have permeated the Western society of New Zealand, or is it completely separate?
For the most part, I'd say it's completely separate. You would get, I suppose it all depends. If you were a Maori and Pākehā, Pākehā is the word for white European person in New Zealand. So if you were a white New Zealander and you were marrying a Maori person, there might be some elements of traditional Maori custom built into the wedding. That can sometimes be in the form of, instead of gold wedding bands, they would use greenstone wedding bands or bone. So that's the sort of greenstone and bone is the traditional elements that are used. Mm-hmm. But apart from that, the same would happen, I suppose, if you were at another special occasion, such as a funeral or something like that, then you'd have to be wary of the Maori customs and just ask someone and they'll tell you. They'll let you know.
So talking of weddings, you said they're about this sort of green bands, greenstone band, you said? Greenstone band or bone band. Mm-hmm. So in a white wedding, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Is what's a normal New Zealand wedding like then? What's an everyday?
So the usual thing would be probably the week before or the night before, you would have your stag do or your hen party.
Okay.
And a stag do is when all the husband to be and all of his mates go out and probably have a lot to drink, etc. drink away their single years. And the same on the other side is the hen do, when the brides and all of her girlfriends go out for drinks, or sometimes it's just to go to a spa for the day or something.
Sounds more New Zealand, actually, a bit more calmer. And
we do like our drinking, though.
Oh, okay.
I have to say.
Okay.
Yes.
And so then what happens after you've had your hen stags?
Yep. So that's, as I say, that's usually the night before. And then the groom gets ready, goes to the church, his best man and some of the ushers, who are basically his team of people, greet all the guests that are arriving. You usually have the groom's side sitting on one side of the church, the bride sitting on the other, for example. And then they just wait for the bride to turn up. And it's quite usual for the bride to be late for the wedding. And usually all of the guests would be sitting down. And when the vicar or the special music comes on to say that the bride's arrived, everyone stands up. And the bride usually walks down the aisle with her father or a male member of the family. And then the ceremony's had.
Is it a Catholic ceremony or a Christian ceremony?
It's a Christian ceremony. By law, it needs to be.
Okay.
And I think apparently up until sort of the late 90s, you actually had to be married in New Zealand and keep the church door open, because in part of the wedding ceremony, there's a place where the vicar says, is there anyone who has an issue with this wedding taking place? And so that's the opportunity for someone to rush in and say, no, they shouldn't get married, or for the bride or groom to make a quick getaway.
Wow. That's a really good one. So do brides wear white dresses? Is that traditional as well?
Yes, that would be right. Yeah.
So that the usual dress we're used to seeing.
Yeah. Probably not. I mean, New Zealand can get quite warm in the summer, but not as warm as Malta, and it's quite dry heat rather than humid.
Okay,
you'd still wear a long dress. It might be off the shoulder. It might be strappy shoulders. Uh-huh. You know, it doesn't have to be, you know, down to the wrists or anything like that.
So do you get married during the day in New Zealand?
Yes, usually late morning, early afternoon.
And then when's the party?
Straight afterwards.
Oh, okay. There's no waiting around. It's from the church to...
You might have some photos at the church. You would hire a photographer. There'd be various photos taken. And then off to whatever venue. Mm-hmm. Quite often a rugby club or a cricket club or somewhere like that. And then you'd have a sit-down meal. The bride and groom and the... Both sets of parents are usually at the top table.
Right.
And then you have other tables scattered about with various other guests. And then you'll have a succession of speeches. You'll thank each other. people who haven't been able to come along to the party will have sent their messages of apologies so that they can't come. So the best man would probably read out those apologies as well. And then... Quite often you have, I can't remember which way around it goes, but there's a best man speech, which the groom is usually quite worried about.
Yes.
Because it usually talks about, because they're usually quite good friends, so they've been involved in several situations, shall we say, that possibly the groom doesn't want everyone else to know about. So that's usually quite funny.
And did they do one about the bride as well?
Sometimes, but it's usually more tasteful.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes the bride does a speech. Quite often the bride's father has a speech and usually starts crying and makes everyone else start crying.
And when does the dancing start? There is dancing,
pretty, yeah, there will be. Yeah, pretty soon after everyone's had their meal. Mm-hmm. You might have drinking, some more drinks, some more photos taken. Usually the dancing is closer into the evening because you might have a reception as well. So there are some guests that might get invited to the sit-down meal. And then others that might just get invited to the reception.
So it's like a three-part wedding. You have the church section, the sit-down meal, and then the party.
That's right.
Now you'll start taking a Maltese tradition, which is the after-party. Mm-hmm. So then when all the older relatives go home, then the youngsters really knock it up again.
Oh, I see.
Knock it up again.
I see. Right.
We can send that one back for you.
Yes.
So the wedding, so is there any significance in the food? Is there a cake?
Yes. Most probably you would have your starters, and probably a lot of the time it will be a buffet style sort of thing. New Zealand is quite like their barbecues, so you might have a roasted lamb or we say a roast hogget, and hogget is an older sheep. So it's instead of lamb, you usually have sheep, potentially on a spit. You could also have, I've been to weddings before, where you have a hangi, which is a traditional Maori meal. Mm-hmm. And that is basically a pit that is dug into the ground, covered with, lined with stones. And you put, I think, the stones are heated up in a fire. They all go into the hangi. You put your meat in there and your vegetables and everything else. And then more stones and earth gets piled on top. And it stays cooking in the ground for about 3 or 4 hours. And you have to remember where it is. And I remember when I was a student once, we had a hangi in our driveway.
Okay.
And we ended up with quite a few
and
some bits of rubble in our dinner. But that wouldn't, of course, happen at a wedding.
No.
So you might get it, and that's lovely. That's really, really tasty.
So it's really sort of tenderizes the food.
Yeah,
sure,
yeah,
cooking and
absolutely. Cooking. And then you'd have your traditional wedding cake, which can be anything from 1 tier, 2 tier, 3 or 4 tiers of cake, and it would be usual for the bride and groom to have a cake cutting ceremony, and everyone watches, takes photos, and all that.
Oh,
yeah.
And that's then the dancing after the cake. Sorry, I'm obsessed with the dancing.
Yes, that's right. Dancing and more drinking, probably.
And is that when, you know, the older people leave, or they just keep going?
No, they would keep going if they wanted to.
There's no
rules. Time limit, really. No.
And what about, what do the guests wear to weddings? Does it depend what time of day you appear at the wedding? Do you end up with the bride probably changes. Do the guests that come in the evening wear evening and the ones that come in the afternoon were day, or is it, it's actually wedding gear is wedding
gear? Just wedding gear, really. Mm. Yeah. I mean, New Zealand, it can be quite casual a lot of the time. And if you were sort of meeting friends for dinner, for example, you probably wouldn't, if you were a man, you probably wouldn't wear a suit and tie, but definitely you would at weddings. And so it's a suit and tie. It would be probably a hat or something, you know.
And for the ladies, bright colours, or are there particular colours you avoid, or there's...
Doesn't make any difference, I don't think.
What if you turned up in a white dress? Is that
might be a little bit odd.
Okay. Yeah. No, I agree with you, but I was just checking.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes see. That's not a very nice thing to do.
Yeah.
Okay, and so presents.
Mm-hmm.
Do people physically take presents, or is there a list? Is there money like there is in Malta?
Probably a little bit of both, really. As I say, it's likely for people to have a couple of months before the wedding send a wedding list out to their guests, usually nowadays online. You can do that through department stores or online shops or whatever, where they, I guess nowadays a lot of people, if they've, in New Zealand you move away from home pretty much when you're about 16 years old.
Okay. Is that because of work is away from where you might have been born? Or?
Well, there's that, but when I grew up there, I moved out of home when I was 17, went straight to university. But my brother, who didn't go to uni, moved out of home when he was 16.
Okay.
And so it's sort of a tradition not to hang around the parental home for too long.
Okay.
I think you kind of just go off and...
Independence.
So in that case, if you've got your own place, you're going to already have your washing machine, your toaster, and all of that. So you don't want to double up when you get married. So then you have a list of sort of the sort of things that you would like, really. Plus, you don't want to end up having five toasters given to you for a wedding presents either. So, you know, we try to be a little bit sensible about it all.
A bit practical.
Yeah, yeah. So there's that. Or you can bring a gift along to the wedding. I guess if you were an overseas visitor, it might be nice to bring something from your own country as a wedding gift.
Something traditional from your side of things.
Yeah.
And so how big are weddings then? How many people sort of attend?
I think it sort of varies in size. You could have small weddings. Sometimes you'd have weddings just at registry offices.
A small wedding in Malta is about 300 people.
Yes,
just
so
to
no.
Into perspective.
Yes, so you might have 20 or 30 people.
Okay. So people you actually know.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
And we probably wouldn't bring money, I don't think. Don't think that would be, that's a little bit, vulgar is quite a strong word, but I think you would probably, unless the bride and groom asked for it, you would just bring a gift for the house or...
A gift for them, because you would know, it sounds like, you know, they're smaller weddings, you would actually know the couple well enough to be able to buy them something for them, which is...
Yes.
Yeah, much. I like that idea. Sounds really good. And then so, you know, about a year after the wedding, if a child is born, are there other traditions around that? Again, I'm guessing there are some Maori traditions and some others.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure about the Maori traditions, I'm afraid. But once again, there may be some certain gifts that you might give the family or the child, which might be in a traditional Maori form. They might be green stone, or they might be wood carvings, or
symbolic.
Yeah, potentially. It's been not so popular 20 or 30 years ago, but you bring a lot of traditions over and borrow things from other countries, so like the States or the UK, for example. So you might have baby showers for the mum-to-be, whereby you would buy either the mum nice things. You could buy her a nice spa day or something like that, or nice flowers for her or whatever, or you would buy clothes for the child or toys or whatever. But sometimes traditional to buy silver things for babies as well.
That's quite common around the world, it seems. I wonder what actually happens to baby silver. There must be a baby silver mountain somewhere.
Yes, I think there probably is.
We can tap into this. We can tap into this for sure. So you talk about baby showers and things. Are there other opportunities? I'm guessing friends get together quite often, because if you're not living at home, you're not sort of restricted by your parents in that sense. So what happens in social occasions? Do you meat for eats very often. Yes. You meet for barbecues and these.
Yeah, yeah. I think New Zealanders really enjoy getting together around food, and so if you would have something over at your house, you would invite a bunch of people around. You might put on a barbecue or something like that. People would usually bring a bottle of wine or bring their own beers or something to be.
So is it more beer or more wine that's drunk over there? Because you make amazing wine.
Yeah, yeah. It's...
It depends.
Quite often it was usually beers for the men, wine for the ladies.
Okay.
But that's going on back to the 70s and 80s. It might have changed a little bit since since I was there. You would probably bring along with you the alcohol that you were going to be drinking at the dinner, but also a small gift for the people in the house as well. The person who's holding the party, they might say, "Can you bring a plate?"
And it's a bit strange.
It doesn't mean because they haven't got any plates at home. What that actually means is a plate with food on it.
Okay. So like a salad or something.
Salad or nibbles or something, or a dessert or something like that. So my mum made that mistake when we first moved to New Zealand. She actually just bought a plate along.
Oh, bless.
Bless her, yes.
Mortifying. They probably did it to wind her up, though, did they?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know.
They did it just to check. Yeah. So they ask you to bring a plate, but it means a bowl of salad, a dessert or something, so you would discuss that before. And you were saying about New Zealanders being quite casual.
Mm-hmm.
Is that in everything? What are they like for timekeeping and turning up on, you know, if you say 8 o'clock, what time is it 8 o'clock? If you're firing up the Barbie, that means you're probably eating a couple of hours later.
You're probably eating a couple of hours later or an hour or so later, but you would sort of be there within about half an hour, I suppose, of people sort of saying when to turn up. There might even be some people that get there early, maybe the closer friends
the ones who want to gossip.
Yeah, and you'd probably find yourself helping out, cooking on the barbecue.
Okay.
Quite often it's or helping the hostess in the kitchen to wash some salad or something like that.
Yeah,
it's all quite sort of, you'd usually find the men, it's the man's domain is the barbecue, though, most
Fantastic.
Of the time.
I like that idea as well. I think I might be moving to New Zealand. So Barbie, everyone very casual then. If it's guessing it's going to be outside,
you wouldn't get dressed up. You wouldn't wear. When I say dressed up, I mean,
not little black dress to go.
No,
to
not little black. Something smart casual, but more on the casual side of smart casual potentially. So if you were a man, you definitely wouldn't wear a shirt and tie or a suit.
But would you wear shorts? It depends what time of year.
You could.
Even the evening, maybe? You would not wear shorts. You would wear shorts during the day because that's...
Probably.
Just thinking of the temperatures.
Do you know, quite a lot of the times, you probably might wear shorts, actually, if you were...
So it can be literally that
it
casual?
It can literally be that casual.
Okay.
Yeah.
And would you say it's like a pool party or a garden party so people would know... This attire is, it's kind of obvious because of the climate in your home.
I mean, when I used to go to primary school, this sounds really weird, but quite a lot of kids didn't wear shoes to school.
Okay.
And I wanted to not wear shoes to school, and my mother, no child of mine doesn't wear shoes to school because my parents are English. So, so you would probably wear... we call flip-flops. I don't know if you have flip-flops in Malta,
but
we call them jandals in New Zealand. So you would probably wear shorts and jandals or a dress and jandals or something like that.
It's funny how the words change, isn't it, actually, for exactly the same thing. Are there any other words that we should be aware of? Because now I'm, because the Australians call flip-flops thongs, don't they?
Yes,
so you have jangles.
Yes. Jandals.
Jandals,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jandals.
Yeah.
For a handbag like the Americans, or is there...
So we call trainers sneakers.
Mm-hmm.
So that's sort of an Americanism that's come over. We call our lollies are ice creams or iced lollies.
Right.
And our sweets are lollies. Our sweets are sweets that you buy from the sweet shop.
Uh-huh.
Did I get that right? I don't know whether I'm mixing it up with... It's so interchangeable sometimes, to be honest.
Well, whatever, you're going to get something nice if you order a lolly.
Yes.
And what else is a traditional food? Do you eat lots of lamb? Because obviously we know New Zealand for lamb. Is that something that's...
Yeah. lamb and beef and fish.
Okay.
And nowhere in New Zealand is very far from the coast, like in Malta. So, in fact, you would potentially go, you could go fishing yourself. And
bring that
catch
to the
your
barbecue.
Own, bring that to the barbie. you could. we often would have quite large. Sounds strange talking about fridge freezers on the show, but you might have a whole freezer full of meat or lamb or beef or whatever. They're quite big meat eaters.
I'd say. I see. Okay.
Yeah. Because that's one of the main products in New Zealand is farming, obviously. So there's an awful lot of that.
Is there any particular way they're cooked? You said about barbecue, but is there particular spices that are used, or is it anything? The meat is so good, you actually don't mess about with it too much.
Is there
any traditional dishes that we would ask for or have a try of? Maybe more Maori, maybe any street food that happens just there?
Not that I can think of, actually.
Sometimes there's a low, you must absolutely have pastitsi.
Yeah.
You know, you must have a pastitsi as soon as you land in Malta. And the last thing you eat before you leave.
No, I don't think so.
No, none of that. And what would be considered rude in New Zealand? Is there anything that you can do that people would be like, whoa, you know, or foreigner, they would know straight away you were visiting? There are some cultures, you know, showing the soles of your feet or whatever. Is there anything like that that is a bit like, oof?
As I say, everything's quite casual. And sometimes think that maybe some of that casualness can be a little bit too much sometimes. Mm-hmm. But I think New Zealanders are very friendly people and they will come and anyone will come and chat to you. But I think if you were having a conversation with someone, you probably wouldn't talk about things like how much money you earn. You wouldn't want to brag about certain things.
Okay.
New Zealanders love talking about sport, so keep that up your sleeve if you're going there. Mm-hmm. They just love to talk about that sort
what
of thing.
What sort of sport is it? Football?
Oh, it's rugby all
rugby.
The way.
Okay.
Yes. When I was at high school, I had a very, very small high school. There were only 400 students.
Mm-hmm.
We had four rugby teams and one football team.
Okay. Football as in soccer then. So,
soccer team. Rugby.
Rugby.
Yeah.
But there must be lots of outdoor sports because it's a very sort of, you imagine it to be this very natural, rugged mountains, lakes, rivers.
Yes. A lot of people will spend their weekends going canoeing or on the sea or playing outdoors.
So and, lots of outdoor life, lots of picnics. And
There's so much more space for everybody. Mm. And you think the size of the country is about the same size as the UK. But But there's only 4 million people living
instead of the 80 million that there are in the UK.
So I think probably we're a lot more used to having our personal space. So I think when you were talking about are there things that you should do and shouldn't do, I know that I feel a little bit uncomfortable if someone is standing right behind me and I can feel their breath on my neck when I'm standing in a queue or something like that.
Too much.
Kind of just give a bit more space.
And do you think that might be one of the reasons behind people leaving home so young? Because 16 does seem quite young to go out and be independent.
Mm.
I mean, university is one thing because you're in an environment with other people your age, you've got people looking after you. But if you go off on your own, I mean...
I think...
So that's something because you have so much space and it's just the natural thing to do and you're quite capable people.
I wouldn't say that it's not like we want to escape home and we're not close to our parents or whatever, but nowhere is too far away.
But it seems massive though, isn't it?
Yeah, I know.
But it's easier to get around by flight and things like that. So there's
To be honest, the transport system isn't great. There's a rail network, but it's not used very much. Most people would... The driver's license, I think you would probably still get it when you're 16.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it was... As I say, I lived in a really small town, and it was so easy for me to get my driver's license. It was ridiculous. So, so I got that at 16, and then you buy your first car, and then you're off. You don't have to worry about parking. You don't, you know, you can always park on the side of the road because the roads in New Zealand are on one side of the road is the same width as a normal road in Malta.
Maybe that's what we should do to address our transport issues. So we have so many parking problems. Actually, it's quite difficult to park here, but so many more people in our square miles, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm not going to try and do the calculation.
Most people live in a detached house, mm-hmm. usually on we call them bungalows, so they're on one floor mm-hmm. with a large garden, usually with a swimming pool.
Why bungalows? Why don't you have stairs? Is it something earthquake related, or it's?
I just think there's more land.
Ah, so we just don't need to.
You don't have to build upwards. And so. Yeah, and then there's always a driveway, mm-hmm. and there's always a garage, mm-hmm. so you're never short for anywhere to park your car because uh-huh. you park it on the drive.
Can you park a helicopter in the garden?
Maybe.
Okay. That just, you know, because it's quite a large place to be able to get around. Yeah. That might be the way to address that situation. Yeah. What other things do we need to know? I mean, hopefully we wouldn't have to go to New Zealand for a funeral, but is there anything there that, you know, you might see one or you might experience?
So what potentially would happen is that the members of the family would usually meet at the person who's passed away, their home. You would greet everyone, talk to everyone, and you would wait for the hearse to arrive mm-hmm. that's carrying the coffin. You then would, the car that's behind the hearse is the one that usually carries or has the immediate family in.
Right.
And then you would, in your own cars, follow along right. after that.
Is it burial or is it cremation generally or at sea? I'm just thinking as you have so much coast.
It would usually be a burial or cremation. Possibly burial, actually, because there's so much more land. Mm. But one thing to remember is that if you are going to a Maori burial, for example, funeral, you can't be seen to be smoking or on your telephone or sitting inside the burial area. What I mean by that is inside the cemetery.
Okay.
It's there are quite a few traditions in Maori whereby lots of areas and places are sacred. So, and you can sometimes see people washing their hands with water after they've come from the burial area to the outside. What they're doing is they're washing off the
sadness or something, maybe?
Yeah, something like that. And just making sure that that's kept contained within that area. Oh. So,
No, you're right not to use your telephones, I mean.
Yeah.
It's been really interesting talking to you and finding a bit more about New Zealand and Maori culture especially. That was Jackie Newholm from Auckland in New Zealand. Thank you very much for joining me on The Good Manners Map.
Thanks so much.
Thank you for joining us on our journey around the world on The Good Manners Map here on Campus FM with myself, Monique Chambers, and the technicians, Carmelo and Samuel. You can hear this programme on Mondays at 1:30 p.m, Thursdays at 9:30 a.m, and again on Fridays at 8 p.m. You can also download as a webcast from multiuniversitybroadcasting.com.